we'll call the CAG meeting to order, and did you have a chance to look at the minutes?
Yes.
See anything that was out of whack?
It was a long meeting, considering how brief the minutes are. It seems to me.
Fortunately, it was minutes, not hours.
Yeah, well, the meeting was hours. The minutes are. Anyway.
Good. So we can adopt that then.
Yes.
Excellent. So adopted.
Yeah, it's hard when there's just sort of a lot of discussion.
Yeah, there was nothing you could do about
it.
I don't think. So.
Exactly.
That's fine.
And if anybody's interested, the audio is available. So.
Yeah, all 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or if you're having trouble getting to sleep.
So the rest of our meeting is really a working session to kind of follow up on where we were last week. I did do
Can
a draft.
I just interject in something real quick?
Yep.
So I talked with Jason through Kate to Katie Holstein. So she's come up with 5 dates. Now, unfortunately, she can't make a Wednesday and she can't make a night. So maybe for
expected
for some of for anybody that either
well, what are the dates? I mean, this
the 19th, the 26th, the 28th, the 1st, and the 5th.
And then I think the effort was to try to also combine this with meeting with the...
Yeah, if they want to do that. But the main thrust of this and what we're going to work out is her coming up and Jason's going to come along with her.
Who's Jason?
Right-hand person?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Chief of staff, maybe?
Yeah. The 19th, the 26th, the 28th, the 1st... and the 5th.
No, the 28th does not work for me.
So it's mostly Tuesdays. Well, I'm not a big fan of the Friday, but...
That's 28th is a Thursday.
Yes, and the 1st is a Friday. But the 19th and the 26th are the first 2 dates you mentioned. Those are
correct.
Tuesdays. What time is she talking about?
So she would probably come up on Kenmore and go home on Kenmore.
Right.
So she'd probably be... I think their first one here is like 9 o'clock or something like that, and I think their last one out of here is like 4 or 5. I can look at the schedule, but she and Jason would probably come up on the Kenmores.
Okay. Would she basically be here all day and then try to meet other folks and do stuff like that, or
if she wants to do that? I mean, yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
So on the 19th, I will be in front of council. I don't know what time.
Those are council meetings.
Yeah.
On those dates.
And they don't have times on the agenda, on one of the agenda items. So
I said to Jason that, excuse me, it would probably be Friday till I got back to him.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to look at those dates and see... I would like to meet with her,
Well, I think it would be great if we could.
Yeah.
For me, it would involve, staying home that day, which is okay.
So the 26th right now works for me just fine.
Yeah.
The 28th and 29th, the 28th I'm in Bellingham, the 29th I'm on Orcas.
There's a 29th this year?
Oh, excuse me.
The
first. The first is the date that you said, and that's
right.
Friday, which would also, work for me, but I'd have to take the day off.
So. Yes.
And then 5th.
The only date that does not work for me is the 19th. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's just I have to arrange whichever day it is.
So if you folks want to take a look at that, and then I can get back to her.
Well, it sounded like the 26th.
26th is the popular favorite.
That's the day before the PhD meeting.
Yes, it would be.
The alternative dates then probably would be Mark. Well, you're not available on the 1st of March.
No, the 28th.
Well, she gave me these dates, so my perception is she'll be fine. So if we're fine, then I don't know that we need all.
I think Mark had a conflict on the 28th and the 1st.
And the 19th.
Which makes it basically the 26th.
26th seems like the best.
And the 26th seems like early enough and not a bad time.
Right. I'm my. my hope would the sooner rather than later. So yeah, the second date.
That's right, too.
Yeah, the second date in this probably. So why don't I get back to Jason then with the 26th?
My lane leaves for Hawaii that day, so I'll be back. We'll be fine.
And then as far as her trying to also meet with the hospital district, I guess would that get coordinated through Nathan?
Well, I don't know if she wants to do that or if they want to do that with her. That would have to be her choice and their choice.
Yes.
As far as time on the day, would you rather do it in the morning or in the afternoon?
That's one of the few days I have nothing scheduled right now.
Shh, don't say that out loud. It's all right.
Okay.
I guess it may depend on what she wants to do with the rest of the day here, too. Because if she's going to try to see, you know, counsel, or if she's going to try to do something else, we're going to be at the mercy of
the other. Could we say the 26th is open to us right now?
The 26th is relatively open.
Okay.
I mean, if I was going to go to work, I would say afternoon is better, because then I can come home for this early rather than stay home all day waiting for the moment when we get to meet with.
Gotcha. Okay.
So later is better for me. But,
for you.
But,
okay.
You know,
okay.
I'm flexible enough if I can take the day.
And then is somebody going to talk to Dan in the next day or two, do we think, to see if the 26th works for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I could send
him. You may be talking to Dan any moment if he calls.
Yeah, right.
Or
if
not.
If not, do you want to coordinate that?
Yeah, I'll send him an email.
Yeah, we'll just at the end of the day.
Then I'll say the 26th. Preference, probably.
For our part, anyway, to be late.
Would be early to mid-afternoon, because I'm certain she'd want to jump then to Kenmore to get her back.
Yes.
Right.
Fortunately, well, not fortunately, because I guess from Seattle to
she's still got to go to Seattle.
Yeah, she's
presumably down south.
Yeah, she's going to be traffic no matter what. So, okay, very good.
Probably better than next week, too. There's going to be all kinds of snow next week.
Are we going to pay for her trip?
No, because
she's got other things she wants to do.
Yeah, and it's really a state event, so they have all these things. So it sounds like they're going to pay for the Kenmore coming up and that kind of stuff.
All right.
I'm not going to make the offer.
Yeah. I think we can shuttle her around if she needs rides.
I'm going to pick her up. I'm going to pick her up and
meet her when
around.
She gets
yes.
here and take her to
yeah,
her appointment
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, we can be her. Once she gets here to the airport, I'll go get her since I'm right at the airport, and then I can move her around and take her back.
Right.
So,
all right.
We'll get her an Uber sticker for
you. And, you know, we'll probably, we'll do the lunch gig and that kind of stuff. So it's really just, and it's really her preference that she wants to take Kenmore just to cut the travel time. So that's on her side.
There's quite a few state people who actually like Kenmore.
Yeah. And
it's
hard
to do a date there,
and with since Session's in right now, she is just super swamped. So I think
I'm kind of surprised she had time right now.
Yeah, I think it demonstrates her willingness.
Her interest.
It's taken me 3 weeks, and I actually had to go through Jason to get to her. For her to respond to me. So I think she's really trying to make a strong effort to get up here.
Yeah. Well, we should appreciate that in our comments back to her.
And then, just as an FYI for you guys, I am going to try to meet with Dr. Sullivan tomorrow on a couple issues, but one of the things I want to talk to him about is, based on our thoughts last week, was metrics and how he, as the MPD, would measure success of the consolidation, if that happened. Mm-hmm. And so... anyways, I just wanted to FYI you guys that I have a set up time tomorrow to kind of sit down with him.
Great.
Sure.
Excellent. Well, that's good news.
Good work.
So we have a bunch of documents now that are starting to actually get some meat on their bones. I sent a draft around last week following up on our discussion, and was curious about feedback and if that's kind of in the right track. It may need some wordsmithing.
It needs to be pared down a little, I think, because it's
it's if you guys want to set the table.
But otherwise, you know, the sentiment, I think, captures what was discussed. And I didn't move something because I wasn't sure where we wanted to go with it right now.
Right. Right.
It was the right flavor, I thought. Anyway,
we could clean it up, too. As we
and if you want, you know, suggested edits or something, I can make a copy of it, edit the hell out of it, and post it again back up in the folder or something.
Yeah, I can send it to you too, George.
Oh, that's fine. I can get it from the. It's in the shared folder.
Yeah.
And I guess that was one of my questions is do we all want to start going in there? And I've not used Google Docs, so does it track changes based on the person who made the change, so you can see what people are suggesting?
You can tell it to do that. It does not ordinarily, when you go in and you start editing a document,
it just falls,
it will change the document and accept the changes. If you want to, there's a trigger that says just keep
track changes.
It's like track changes. Okay. It does the same thing Word does.
Is that what we want to do, or how do we want to?
Well, what I did, because I realized I was marking the hell up. I took one of the things Nathan did, which was chapter 3, I guess.
The levies chapter.
The levies and stuff, and started to edit it. And I realized early on that I was editing it all over the place. And it was a mess looking at it. Just really hard to read when you have track changes going on. So I made a copy of it and edited that. So the original that Nathan posted is there in my copy with all of the changes I made to it is in a separate file. Just because it was easier to read.
I didn't see a separate file.
Oh, well, I'll have to take a look. I saved a copy and edited that, but maybe I lost yours.
I backed mine up.
Oh, I was going to say, what I did was save mine as a copy.
Yeah.
And then change the name of it to My Edits or something like that. So there's one that says whatever you originally called it, and one that says My GAJ Edits in parentheses after or something like that. But I thought they were both there, unless I deleted one by mistake.
I would expect on this report that generally a lot of the chapters only receive attention from a couple people.
Yeah, I think that's
not everyone's interested in everything.
I don't think everybody's going to edit everything. No.
And so when I worked on the levy thing, I contacted George and asked him to go over it because he's the guy that does the legal stuff. When I was working on this part about CAG process, I contacted George. I mean, not right. George, Chuck.
You definitely look similar. I can see why you're
making yeah, this. We get confused all the time.
We settle for each other sometimes.
Yes, right.
Gray hair, gray beard, same thing. So anyway, but the big section that you're all going to be working on is the big CAG recommendation chapter. And if there are sections where you guys disagree or rather word things differently, you can write your stuff in a different color.
Yes.
Or highlight it, and we can work it out. So.
Yeah, and it has highlighters, like Word does. So you can do that, too.
Yeah, no, I've done pretty much what I was telling Dan. I do a lot of cutting and pasting. I'll just copy a section, put it into Word, work in Word for a while, and then
see if I can paste it back.
Migrate it back. Mm-hmm. So whatever makes you
whatever works best.
Yeah,
I usually work in the Google document.
Yeah. Corin, do you have some suggestions relative to looking at this document and how we assemble this? Does anything jump out in your head about putting this together based on some of your experience?
It's going to be messy because there are five of you, right. And that goes with the territory. I think you're doing the right thing now by starting to write different people write up, as I understand what I just heard, different people write different stuff. And it's going through Nathan, and it's going through each of you are sharing some of it. At some point, you're going to have to make some decisions about stylistic stuff, about voice, about general voice that will do it. And then you're going to have one person, probably Nathan, go over the whole thing to make sure that it tracks. And that'll be a critical stage. But before you get too deep into that, I think you'd be well advised to decide what you want to say. Mm-hmm. And that probably will come through the process of writing.
Yeah, Karn,
much help, I know.
I guess we're all probably aware Karn has a background in publishing and all that kind of stuff, and I had mentioned to her about when she made her comment about 3 weeks ago that you're running out of time to really get this thing. I'm thinking to myself, okay,
yep.
And maybe there's some value in asking, since she's been involved a lot with publishing and so forth, about just giving some thought. So I appreciate that ask.
Yeah, no, I would.
And I'm glad to be asked to do whatever you think you need. But I think it is very important. The hardest part is the first part, where different people are writing in different styles and putting down different ideas, and you're not sure whether you agree. And that will smooth itself out as you go forward, but you got to keep at it, gentlemen.
Yeah, we are Jensen Shipyard Citizens Advisory Group. We wrote the report by committee, and it was good, but we did not get the Pulitzer Prize for a report writing that. Because we weren't, I mean, it was good, but, you know, there are always problems with different voices.
And the other thing that happens, and you should be aware of this, you get deeply into one topic or another topic, and you forget to take a look at the overall thing, and have you remembered to think about all the issues that you want to think about, because at some point you're going to say, that's enough writing. And at that point, you want to be sure that everything's in there.
I'm curious if it's going to be a report or is it going to be a roadmap? You know, I don't really know what's your recommendation. Is that how you lead? And then are you going to go through and talk about the steps that you think are appropriate for us to take?
I don't think they know yet.
No, actually, I think it is a report. And
it's
yes, it will contain some roadmap in it. And it will contain lots of detail about steps and options and lots of stuff that may seem excessive, but we spent a lot of time on it. So it gives us a reason, a justification, in a way, for the recommendations that we make. So I think it has to be in there.
Yeah, I think we're trying to strike a balance, at least, of just in, we want to be as comprehensive as possible without being too restrictive in recommendations. So there's some level of flexibility. But I mean, I think as a group, depending on how this all comes together, there'll be recommendations that will be not directive, but really kind of point a certain way.
You may find, and I think this came up the other day, you may find that you have the very detailed version, you have the middle version, and you have an executive summary.
Yeah, right.
And that will help you in your thinking about what it is you want to say.
Yeah, I think actually what would help, I think I agree with you on that, is the at some point, we need a 2 or 3 page synopsis for the folks who don't want to read the 138-page report.
Right.
You know, might just choose to skim through, which is more than the half page executive summary at the front of the document, but gives you kind of the distilled version of the fairly major document that's going to produce. I don't think we're going to take the time to make it as short and terse and Pulitzer Prize winning as it could be. But we need to work on making it usually shorter because we usually tend to write more than we need.
Right.
I mean, I think you found that in writing.
And you also have to think about your audience.
Mm-hmm.
There are several.
Yes.
In this case. So.
Yeah, and that came up a little bit because some of what David provided was a lot of explanation about how levies work. Well, some people are going to know that, I hope, if they're in the business of being a hospital district commissioner or a fire district commissioner, they ought to know how levies work. We don't have to explain
literature
to them and the 1% cap and all the rest of that, or the $1.50 cap or the 50 cent cap or any of the rest of it. But we do maybe have an audience that won't know that. Folks in the public
the
are
general,
going to read.
The general
so
public has no...
If, yeah, right, exactly. Most of the general public, if they get the thing, are going to need to know that. So we're going to keep it in there, I think, but distill it out of the executive summary. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen.
If you label judiciously, if you're creative with labeling sections, that will allow people to skip what they don't want to read.
Yeah, that we may only be able to get to at the back end of the process when we kind of see what we've got and say, okay, how are we going to lead people through the document now? And we'll have to see. And of course, any self-referencing that's done to different chapters and stuff is going to take a lot of back-end work because, you know, we weren't going to know what we've got until we've got it, and then we can go in and plug in something, see, you know, paragraph 4, section 28, and chapter 2.
So are you still thinking it will be complete by the end of next month?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was our promise.
I actually think you'll see a very rough draft within a month. I don't know if it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be polished, but you know, in a few weeks, we'll have something. I mean, it's getting there. I don't know about Rick's part because I haven't seen anything on yet.
He's busy.
But he's working on it. I have confidence. Right? Right?
My buddy. 138 pages.
We may have
buddy.
A whole two.
Yeah,
but we'll have something.
Yeah. So I think, in my opinion, to get there, we still weren't at agreement on where we were going. I mean, I know, Rick, you had concerns about the value statements and wanted to get that flushed out, which I think what Chuck was intending to do with that, to move forward with a recommendation. And I hope we can get through that tonight and maybe have at least a agreement to keep moving in that direction. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I mean, you were hesitant last week because you were trying to figure out what those value statements were, concerned about why are we doing this? I mean, what's it going to mean for EMS and EMS service to the community and for fire? What are those values?
Right. So it's not so much the value statements, it's the values themselves. And I'm, you know, actually part of me is even struggling more as I've really, you know, settled into it. Because it doesn't jump out at me. When we did M&As, it jumped out at me. You know, we merged with a company that had 50 bases and we had 50 bases, but 20 of them were in the same territory. So, and we had capacity on each airframe. So we could say those 20 are gone. Or we had a high C-suite, they had a high C-suite, and we could say a C-suite's gone. Or, you know, there was some value proposition that came out of it. There is no high value proposition, in my estimation, that I see. I think EMS could do just fine. And what brought it apart was the balance of, or it seemed to be the perception that, I don't know if it was real, but the perception that there was one entity that was dominating and a second entity that was subservient. You know, one was spending a lot of dollars and one wasn't. And that drove them apart, okay? And I just don't see it coming back together fundamentally with something big. I'm still at the point where they could probably sit out there and do just fine. And bringing them together, they potentially could do just fine. I know this piece, I don't know what this piece is coming together, because if they don't follow, you know, good financial management, it could still be in the same shape. If they don't follow good leadership, it could be in the same shape, could be worse shape. And so collectively, there's nothing, you know, I look at it from a very simplistic, you know, like I said, when we did business, there was a lot of gains by doing it, or the perception of gains. I don't see that here. That's where I'm struggling with it.
You know, Rick, I think to some extent, when I think about where we're at, could EMS and fire exist as separate organizations? Sure. But I'm trying to think about not the way things are today, trying to think ahead a little bit, mm-hmm. trying to think of the future, and trying to work more. This is, to me, has been less of an exercise in trying to just take one operation and fold it into another operation. It's been the opportunity in the discussion, I think, that we've had as far as looking at emergency services looking ahead and how do we make it better and how do we start to create, how do we start to create an integrated operation that maximizes operational efficiencies, hopefully maximizes financial efficiencies, and ensures the integrity and sustainability for emergency services going forward.
Yeah, and that's part of why I'm having a discussion with Dr. Sullivan tomorrow, because I'm really looking for what could be the gains, what could be that long distance value, and see if it's really there. I don't know the fire side well, so that's where, you know, yourself and others can tell me there could be a long distance gain for fire. But I'm really, it's not jumping out at me. And so I'm really trying to see where, you know, if, so I see a chief, but I also have seen, okay, but there would have to still be then probably an administrative person that's dealing with EMS, as well as an administrative person that's dealing with fire, and then maybe you have the chief. So I'm saying to myself, okay. So it's all the bits and pieces I'm listening to, the board members that I'm, current board members of both organizations that I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to parse out what the new chief says and so forth, with very little, you know, where we haven't had much interaction, so very little interaction and so forth. And again, it's not that big thing or the anything that really jumps out at me. I mean, I've heard training and I can understand that, but I don't even have the data of how many car accidents you go to. Is it 50? Is it 30? And where, and you know, there hasn't been, my perception is there hasn't been any loss. There hasn't been, you know, has the patients done well? Has the scene done well? As we've had safety issues, have we had all those kinds of things? I don't know. But nobody's brought these things up that says, okay, by bringing it together, we're really going to be locked in on this, this, or this. It's just, and there's nothing that somebody's buying that's going to bring an enhancement. It's not some big piece of this or some technique of this. And so that's just, it's kind of, the value statement or the value propositions are great. The entities that covers these, I'm not seeing. So actually I was going to be quiet and try to hear what all of you guys are coming up with that's, that makes the sell, that closes me in and would say, yeah, man, that's, it really does make sense. Even long term, I'm really looking for that because I'm not there.
I have this thought that you're looking at this from the lens of merger, which is good, you know, an M&A kind of guy. But I suggest that you step back from the chair of one of the merger partners and consider yourself to be either with the big eight accounting firm that's doing the due diligence, or with the management consulting firm that's giving advice to the merger partners instead, and say, look, you can do this, here's the risk. You can do that, here's the benefit, but it's also, you know, got this problem with it. And lay out options. Consider these, and don't necessarily feel you have to be a cheerleader for the process of merging or the process of not merging and how you would deal with improving the standalone entity or something. And just recognize that the boards and the council are going to be the ones who decide this, not us. We're just going to tell them what the choices are, what's good and bad about it, what they might run into if they do one or the other of these options. And we don't necessarily have to say, I want to sell you on doing this or sell you on not doing it for that matter. We just, you know, be objective. Because if you stopped right now and said, you have to write this thing up, you know, the final's tomorrow and you got to get this thing in, you could write it with, I'm comfortable that this would work, but there's a big hole here or there's a big gap in you know, my knowledge about this, and we should say that if that's what it is. And you don't have to feel that you're already on board with one or the other.
And so I'm exactly at that point. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it exactly how you're saying. And so I'm really waiting. That's why I said I really wanted to come in and be quiet. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to hear from you guys on truly...
I think it's not all about the money, either then, 25 years ago, or now. So we have to recognize that really what it was about then was personal issues between, you know, almost political issues between parties that were involved in the organization, and the divorce, if you will, that came out of that between Fire and ENS was not dependent on, they weren't getting the money they needed to run. They, both sides were doing just fine. It was just they didn't get along. And, you know, it's like...
This is a leadership issue.
We had a chief that couldn't deal with the other chief, you know, and subordinates too. So there was a lot of button heads, and it just wasn't a very pleasant experience for either of them. And they wanted a new home where they would be loved more than they were feeling the love where they were. And it was a better thing for them, not, you know, anything to do with the money, really. That wasn't it at all.
Okay, well, that's not what I heard, but so that's another side of it. But it still was a consolidated system that they didn't have the love inside.
It wasn't really consolidated. It was this chief and this chief reported to the same commission.
That's not a consolidated system.
Yeah, it wasn't a consolidated system at all. They weren't in the same building. They weren't, you know, nothing was consolidated. They had separate budgets. They had separate funding. They had...
Okay.
There was not a consolidated system. What we've been proposing here, what we've been talking about, is a consolidation that has never existed here. Ever. We're not going back to the way it was. We're talking about actually being consolidated as opposed to being completely separate, but with a common commission.
So I didn't perceive that in the past, but
so
still.
Frank Wilson and, you know, Glenn Potter were the two chiefs, and they were their own men, and they were not, you know, really getting along much. And they both reported to the commissioners for the fireness.
Gotcha.
That was where they came together. And when they were butting heads all the time down in the, you know, levels just below the commission, it wasn't very much fun for any of them. And while they didn't necessarily agree that it was the best choice based on everybody else's recommendations in every other part of the world that has done this, they decided that they needed a home where they could feel more comfortable. And that's why they came knocking on the door of the hospital district.
Okay.
It was that easy.
Well, again, I think I'm looking at it how you're suggesting, George, and so that's why I really wanted to hear from you guys.
Sure.
I really wanted to sit back and say, okay, as you guys are starting to put this together, the process piece is just the fundamentals, the levy, how you get through that, the district size, how you get through that. All those kinds of things are just fundamentally how it's done. But I want to hear from you guys your recommendations.
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are not captured in the dollars or some of the other discussions that we've had. Much of it has to do with the fact that fire districts in general have fewer things to do, as we've been talking about. They have fewer calls to go to. They roll on a lot of calls that are really EMS calls when they're there to do rescue if needed or whatever they're needed to do. But fires don't happen as much as they used to, so that this gives them active involvement in an agency that's rolling on more and more calls every year. The EMS folks are not getting smaller, they're getting uh-huh. more to do. And I think that synergy of this is on the upswing, if you will, in terms of activity and gives you a reason for doing it. And this is, we go and we practice and we work really hard, and then every couple of months we actually have a fire. And it's usually a car, and it's usually put out in minutes, and then it's done. Or whatever. You know, we don't... How many times have we...
It might be 5-10 minutes, George.
Okay, 10 minutes. But, I mean, once every 5 years, we have a Whitey's burned down. Or once every couple of years, a house will burn. But it just isn't... You know, that's a lot of work. A lot of training hours go in for the number of incidents that they actually get to try out their training. But if they're involved in all the EMS calls more intimately, because they're EMTs and paramedics too, then I think there's some more enthusiasm in the organization that might attract more young folks who want to learn to be one of these things and eventually may end up making a career of it too, which is all good. I mean, you want to have enthusiasm for it. And I think this would help fire in that respect. The EMS side of things, I don't think gets helped as much by that, but they might have a little better chance to roll the 24/7 kind of staffing thing out if they were jointly doing calls. Just talk about that. Is that Dan?
I was hoping it was.
Anyway, so my sense is that it's not as tangible as the numbers might dictate. I mean, we're not going to cut stations out, or not going to do, you know, whatever consolidation. It's not that kind of a thing. I think we're at a place where the politics and the personalities are not going to be as big an issue as they had been in years past. And they obviously are looking for new leadership on both sides, and got it on one and will be getting it on the other. And I think that new leadership might be an opportune time to do something like this where it hasn't been done before, because you certainly weren't going to do it with the EMS chiefs we've had in the past. I don't think successfully, anyway. Okay. But now I think we can. So maybe we should take the opportunity. That's really all. And you had numbers that indicated there was money to be saved, but I'm going to leave that to you.
Yeah, and I would view this as like a... This is not private business looking for those gains or those sweet spots. This is a central government service, both of them are. And so you're looking at, can you provide a more efficient and effective system? Some could argue yes, some could argue no. But that's what you're looking for. I mean, that's one of the things I would look for with this. And you start looking at the personnel that are involved on both sides and how many of them right now are duly qualified, and what you could achieve if they were merged as far as having that 24/7 coverage for both agencies. I don't know if EMS has achieved it yet with their current staffing model. I know they just have changed it. I know prior to that, they certainly were not providing providing a paramedic 24/7. They were not providing EMTs or rolling their aid cars 24/7. They were rolling a sprint car. And they were utilizing fire for manpower and what they would call agency assist. We were rolling on all cardiac events. We were rolling on all search and rescue events. We were rolling on all lift assists. We were rolling on outer island calls for boat calls. And so essentially the operations on some level were functioning together, but they're not necessarily training together. And I know it's a leadership issue, and you could say that in theory, you could just tell, the boards could tell you, bill chiefs, you guys need to train together on these operations and use each other. And I believe that was done. It hasn't happened in the 18 years I've been on the Fire District 3. Very sparingly, I should say never. It was a rare occasion where we would train together. There are some gains, I think, for EMS, potentially, in improving patient care. Some examples would be what Scott said here, is utilizing a firefighter who's maybe not duly qualified to actually drive the unit instead of having an EMT. Recently, not that long ago, 3 months ago, emergency assist, firefighters outnumbered EMTs on a call for, I think it was a cardiac issue. And we ended up driving both sprint cars back for the paramedics because they were in the back of the aid unit as EMT was driving the ambulance back to actually airlift where we all took it.
That just happened recently.
Just happened recently.
Just
and so, functionally, I think both agencies gain. I think that the community benefits. I don't think you see huge business gains from either one. I think, like you said, I agree, both of them can operate just fine on their own right now. However, I think there are some significant gains that both sides can achieve by doing it. And I think, in the end, the citizens would benefit from that. And this is my personal opinion from seeing things over the last 18 years. There's been no issues on scenes and no one's got hurt. None of that. But I can tell you that on several different occasions, we actually sent firefighters from a scene back into the station to pick up the aid car to drive to the scene. Did it affect the patient's care? No. The patient was still being brought out of wherever they were at. The aid car was on scene. No one knew any difference. They were EMTs and firefighters, and we just said, go get it, come back. Now, again, with the new model, is that going to change? I don't know. I don't know what their current staffing is. But that has occurred in the past, what I just described.
Uh-huh.
So.